The lesson this morning will be taken from Luke chapter 11 and verses 27 through 32. And I believe the message in these verses, and which I titled the lesson this morning, Blessed Ears of Faith. Let's read these verses together and then I'll make some observations. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South, that is the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now let me see if I can paint us a picture of what's going on here in our text. Back in chapter 8, we're given a whole list of names which followed him and ministered to him, including several women, one of which was his mother, and some of the other ones were brethren. And in all likelihood, they were in this crowd and probably near the front, and it was a large crowd. When our Lord spoke, most of the time, He was just thronged with people. There was thousands. And there was a woman there who saw the miracle that he performed and heard his rebuke of the Pharisees and was amazed at the wonderful parable he gave on how God saves sinners. He basically had told them that he was the King of Glory. He was the strong man. The reason this satanic influence was removed from this dumb man upon whom he performed that miracle was because he was stronger than him. He ordered that demon. He took away his power and cast him out. And he also told him this. He told him by what power he worked these things. The finger of God. He said, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. Satan's power is taken from him, and then he went on to expose those great religious men of recognition as hypocrites and whitewashed sinners. And because she'd seen these things, and perhaps remembering what the Lord had done for her, she broke that, how would you say, that parliamentary etiquette for women, and spoke up. She spoke up. And said, Blessed is the womb that bare thee. Now, I don't know if she knew Mary. I would say because of Jesus' fame, in the land that most people knew who Mary was and his brethren. You remember they were at a wedding or something was going on, and they came and told him, said, "Your mother and your brethren are without." They followed him pretty much everywhere he went. And people knew who they were. And she may have looked at her and looked at him and made the statement, "I don't know." But I don't believe this woman was trying to lay any kind of foundation for Mary worship. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. She was doing no more than what you and I do if we saw someone's child excel in their behavior and their work. We'd say, "How blessed are their parents?" And we'd say it without a thought. We wouldn't be trying to do anything wrong. We're just stating the facts. And the Lord, in this parable, I want you to see this. He does not deny the blessedness of his mother. He didn't say, "Now she's not blessed." The angels had already proclaimed that she was blessed. "Blessed art thou among women." Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, also prophesied of that and said that she was blessed. She was blessed. "My soul, of all the women in the world in all the ages, one was used as the instrument to bring Christ into this world." But rather, the Lord rectifies this woman's view. The ground of her blessedness, as it is with all who truly believe, is the Word of God. If you can understand what I'm saying to you this morning, you're blessed. You're blessed of God. Because most people don't. If you can hear what I say this morning and what I read to you from the Word of God, if you can do that and rejoice, you're blessed. You're blessed. I believe the ground of her blessedness, as it is with all who truly believe, is the Word of God and the Word of the Gospel, which tells us that by way of a virgin birth, a child is born and a son is given. Mary's blessedness did not arise from the fact that the Son of God was in her womb, but from the fact that the Son of God was in her heart. Listen to this, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Christ was in her heart. In Luke 2, Mary went to the temple according to the law of Moses and offered a pair of turtle doves or pigeons for a sin offering for herself. She's not, as the Catholics contend, without sin. She was a sinner saved by grace. And I may not get through all of these things this morning, but if I can, I have four things plainly given by our Lord to this generation, of which I hope I can give to mine. I want us to see the blessedness of faith and the dangerous demands of unbelief, and the one sign given of God. And then I want us to see the awful consequence of unbelief. So let's observe this, first of all, the blessedness of faith. I think, I've heard others say this, and I believe it's so, that the greatest blessing apart from Christ that any son of Adam could ever have is faith. Faith. Why? Well, I'll give you several reasons. First, because it's the distinguishing mark or evidence of our election of God. You have no way of knowing if your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world except God gives you faith. Paul said, "I know your election of God." How do you know that, Paul? "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, But it came in power, and it came in the Holy Ghost, and it came with much assurance. That's how I know your election. You believed. You believed. All God's elect are going to come to Christ. There's another reason. They're all going to come to Christ. How are they going to come? By faith. There is no other way to come. We come by faith. John 6:37, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then thirdly, all God's elect shall believe. I don't know if you've ever seen that in Acts chapter 13, but Paul goes up to preach at Antioch, and the Jews were jealous of him because of the multitudes that gathered to hear. And mixed in with that group was Gentiles. And we already know how the Jews felt about the Gentiles. They were dogs. They were heathens. And so Paul preaches to them, and these Jews were spreading rumors about them and just talking bad about them and just trying to make them look bad in the people's eyes. And finally Paul just turned to them and he said, seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And he quoted an Old Testament scripture concerning the Gentiles. And it said, when they heard this, oh, they were glad. They were glad. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see what I'm saying? That's the blessedness of faith. All God's elect are going to believe. It's the mark or distinguishing evidence of our election with God. And then secondly, it's the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith has to be given. Has to be given. I tell you, we'll be a lot more patient and a lot more tolerable with unbelievers when we get this in our head and in our heart. Faith is the gift of God. I can't give it to you. He may use me as the means to give you some understanding, but I can't create faith in you. Only God can do that, and it's His gift. It's His gift. And then thirdly, faith is an evidence of blessedness because it's how God keeps us and preserves us. Peter said we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. We're kept by faith. Huh? Kept by the power of God through faith. How does that power work? It works through faith. And then fourthly, we're blessed with faith because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We couldn't please Him here this morning. We couldn't please Him with a prayer. We couldn't please Him with our preaching. We can't please Him with our lives. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And fifthly, because God said it is by faith, that it might be by grace. Oh, my soul. The grace of God. Faith sees the redemption of God in Christ. It sees God's glory in Him and His accomplishments. And it knows by these the love of God for chosen sinners. And it rejoices in Christ their Savior. That's what faith does. So that's the blessedness of faith. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Over in Luke 1, in verse 45 or 43, I can't read my own writing, it says, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Mary believed. She believed. And then the second thing I want us to see here is the dangerous demands of deceived men. and more as I live and minister the things of God, I'm beginning to sympathize more and more, and I mean by that to show sympathy toward deceived men. I know what they are, and I know why they are, and I know the way they are. God saved me out of the same pit. Listen to this. Paul said, I have great heaviness. These men hated him. They tried to stone him twice, beat him with a whip, within one more lash of death. Despised him everywhere he went. And Paul said this, I have great heaviness. That is a heavy burden, continual sorrow in my heart, and could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And my friend, may God give us all ears to hear this. This world and everyone in it is condemned of God. They're not in limbo. They're not in a vacuum. They're condemned of God. Over in Ephesians 2, when Paul wrote this, he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And when he finishes all of his statements and he tells us what that death is, and he said, we were by nature children of wrath even as others. This whole world is under the condemnation of God. In Adam, all die. And there's only one thing, one hope, one remedy for this condemnation, and that is the intervention of God for His elect. He's been intervening for His elect before they were ever created. He made a covenant of grace, an eternal covenant of grace on their behalf long before they were ever created, long before Adam ever fell. And then of the Jews who were just falling before him, unbelief, rejection of Christ, and Paul said, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we'd been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And even of us, he said, even so now, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Man without the intervention of God is doomed. He'll wax worse and worse. His thoughts and ideas about God will just go farther out and farther out. His beliefs, his politics, his philosophy, his will, and his morals will decline until he lives like a beast. David saw himself falling from favor with God. He wasn't falling from favor, but he saw himself that way because of his sins. And he said, I was as a beast before thee. Satan takes fallen men captive at his will. And where God does not intervene, deceived men flourish. They abound. Scripture said many false prophets are gone out into the world. And one of the many dangers of such men is that they seek after a sign. Look at verse 29 of our text. When the people were gathered thick together around him, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Why? They seek a sign. They want something more than the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. They want something more than the Word of God. If I have a hope this morning, the foundation of that hope is right here. It's right here. If I can't find my hope here, I don't have a hope. All I've got is a false refuge. In both Matthew and Luke's account, our Lord takes his gospel pointer and puts it upon the demand they put upon God for a sign. Unbelief always demands something more than the Word of God. They wanted something they could see, something they could touch, something they could feel, something they could prove. They said, we'll believe God if God will prove Himself in the court of human reasoning and experience. Then we'll believe Him. And the first thing they ask someone is how they feel having preached their lies to them. How you feel? Brother, feelings got nothing to do with it. It has to do with this book. It has to do with the Word of God, the promises of God. And knowing what they want, Satan gives it to them. You want tongues as a sign, he'll teach you how. He'll teach you how. You need a miracle for a sign, he'll give you one. Lying wonders. Lying wonders. Oh, my soul. He'll allow you to be overwhelmed with strong delusion. And if you believe not the truth, and you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved, God will give you over to it. And then thirdly, I want us to observe now that there's just one sign, one evidence is given, that of the prophet Jonah. There's only one sign given that faith can rest in, and that is the accomplished redemption proclaimed and revealed in the gospel, which was demonstrated in that prophet when they threw him out of the ship and a whale that God had prepared swallowed him up, and they both went down to the belly of hell. And they both rose back up. And then he spit Jonah out on the ground, alive. Alive. And he went and preached. This is the word which is preached unto you by the gospel. That's what Peter said. That's that word by which we're born. Born. And as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man is to this generation. One preacher said the sign of Jonah was both a declaration of grace and a prophecy of the redemption accomplished in Christ. And his message when he got to Nineveh was salvations of the Lord. Prophet Jonah being raised to life again after 3 days in the belly of hell is a prophetic picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And having risen from the dead, he goes forth in the preaching of the gospel, proclaim grace to hell-deserving sinners. And then lastly, I want you to see the awful consequence of unbelief. Our Lord gives to them two examples out of their own history to paint a picture of the awful judgment of God on those who will not believe. The first is the queen of Sheba. She came from afar to hear the wisdom of Solomon, but a greater than Solomon was there that day. And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment and condemn you, he said, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah has spoken to you. Now listen to me. Divine justice will make everything that should have been a means of blessedness to your soul. And it'll make it an instrument of torment to you, and it'll be an instrument of torment in hell forever. We only given one little picture of hell. That was the rich man. Lazarus, he had nothing. He was a poor beggar, but he believed. And now in heaven, the rich man looks up from hell. And here's what he tells him. Son, remember. Remember. That's what our Lord's telling these people. Every opportunity, every circumstance, every message you ever heard, and you just rejected it, clenched your fist, set your jaw, pulled your shoulder. It'll be with you forever. Forever. But it won't be a hope. Now it's going to be a torment. Going to be a torment. Oh, if I just listen. If I just listen. He told me. He told me. But I didn't listen. I didn't listen. God's gospel and His preachers and the sweet providence of His grace will be to the believer a savor of life unto life. But to those who believe not, it'll be a savor of death unto death. Every opportunity, every circumstance, every word you ever heard will torment your soul forever. This being so, that man looked up at Lazarus and he said, "Could you send a man from the dead and warn my five brothers?" Could you do that? And Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, the Word of God. If they will not hear them, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Blessed ears of faith. Oh, I pray today that for Christ's sake and your name's glory, His name's glory, that God will be pleased to use these things which I've said and His word that I've read to you and give us this blessed faith. Amen. Thank you.